Hi, everyone. This is Jimmy Bennett with King James.
And this is Rex Carroll. You got Power Rock Podcast with Jim Madonna. Woo!
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. Friends, I'm here to tell you, today we're going to have an amazing show, because I have on the line Mr. Jimmy Bennett and Rex Carroll of King James. Jimmy, Rex, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here. This is Rex, and this is my friend Jimmy Bennett.
Hey, man. Thanks, Jim. We really appreciate you having us on.
Guys, you know, I want to say that this is truly an honor. Jimmy, how about you take the floor here, and let's go back kind of to the beginning, you know, when, what was it, the King James the Fall, correct?
No, it'd actually be the original, the self-titled debut King James CD. Listening, I was in a band called Sacred Fire, and we were touring pretty heavy. Of course, Rex was with White Cross, and they were touring very heavy. And we just happened to be in New York. I believe it was Kingdom Fest, I think.
Yeah, Kingdom Bound.
Yeah, Kingdom Bound. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, in Buffalo. That's right. And we... I was walking along some area, park area, and just ran into Rex, and he and I just began to chat and talk about some things, throw a few ideas in the air, and, you know, gosh, I'd love to work with you. Well, wow, I'd like to work with you. Let's see if we can make it happen. Well, where do you live? I'm in Chicago. Where do you live? I'm in Atlanta. Oh, okay. Well, let's see what we can do, and, well, the rest is really history. So it's... been a great great run, and we're still enjoying playing music together and writing together and doing things that we feel that God's called us to do. And it's good, man. It's good to play with and be a part of a band that you truly get along and have chemistry with. So, you know, having said that, man, I feel really blessed to work with Rex, and we're really happy that God's allowed us to, and gave us this many years together, because, you know, so many times it gets kind of kicked to the curb and then pretty much it's done. So we're thrilled to still be out doing what we do and enjoying one another's company and enjoying what God gives us to do.
There's a few tracks on the new CD, which you have out. It's called Maximus. And why don't you let the listeners know that where they can go ahead and get this CD, by the way?
Amazon, iTunes, you know, you can Facebook us personally. Yeah, all you guys listen, make us friends and go online and check our music out. And if you're interested in a record or in merch or anything like that, well, let us know and we'll try to get you hooked up.
There was a brief time for the first time when Michael Sweet had gone solo. So Stryper was... Actually, they were attempting to carry on as a three-piece band for a while, and Oz Fox was singing their lead vocals for them. And they happened to be, it was one of those things where my band was at a festival in Europe. They were there all. So during that time, I started hanging out with Robert Sweet quite a bit, and Jimmy had said to me, well, I better, you know, just give Robert a call and see if he wants to play in the album. So I did, and Robert was like, well, probably get Timmy as well. So it was pretty simple process how it came together. So that was that, and we toured a bit, and then Timmy didn't want to do the tour or was unable to do the tour. I don't remember what happened exactly there, but so Robert did the tour with us, and then Ian Evans played the bass, and Jimmy's got a story about Ian Evans, our bass player, how that carries actually into our new record, Maximus, which is out right now. And go ahead and tell them the story.
Well, because Timmy wasn't able to come out with us at that time, I called Rex, and I've got a guy here local in Atlanta that I've known for many years, and Rex was like, well, we're going to be rehearsing there. And so I believe we had rented a rehearsal studio to go into, and I brought Ian in and introduced Rex to Ian and just hit it off. I mean, just absolutely. Ian could sing, he played, just had a great look, and was just an all-around, you know, seasoned guy. So we took Ian out on the road with us, and then when that tour finished up, like any other musicians, we're always looking for work, and so he put out his feelers on trying to hook up and continue to, you know, stay out there working, and landed a gig with Lynyrd Skynyrd and stayed with them for right at 10 years. Unfortunately, he developed cancer, and we lost Ian in May of 2009. I was fortunate to go pray with him and his wife, and, you know, and it had been a while since we'd been able to hang out because, gosh, he was on such a huge level, you know, playing with Skynyrd. But he was still the same old Ian that I knew back in the, you know, when he toured with King James. Just a great all-around guy and loves the Lord. And so Rex, when we were writing for the Maximus record, sent me some music and called me and said, man, I just really feel like we need to do a tribute song for Ian. I think it would just really pay honor to him and his family, and he was such a great brother, and it just really kind of choked me up somewhat. I was like, yeah, gosh, that would be an awesome thing to do. So when he sent the music, it didn't take long to put words, because I just knew this guy. He was an incredible man of God and just a great friend, and so we wrote this song. His nickname, because he was from Mississippi, was Mississippi Kid. So we entitled the song Mississippi Kid and gave it a little southern rock feel, and just kind of gave it some jamming, you know, the whole nine yards with that. But the main thing was to pay honor to him and his family. And his wife, after we sent her the CD, she reached out to me and just was blown away. Just, you know, was very humble, and we still stay in touch to this day, you know, so that kind of tells a story with that particular song.
Why don't we let the listeners hear Mississippi Kid with King James on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up.
He played the
Welcome back. We are with Jimmy and Rex of King James. Guys, I got to say, man, you know, I own this Maximus CD. It's an amazing CD. And that particular song, like all of them, I just, Jimmy, well done, Rex. I mean, awesome, awesome song. Great tribute. I know Ian is looking down going, thanks, guys.
Well, we hope so.
Right on.
I have to agree with you. I think the album is pretty darn awesome myself. I cannot find one single thing wrong with it. And I tell you the reason why is because there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, it was kind of a strange situation with the label, but at the time they gave us every resource that we needed. Money was not a problem. We had the resources to make the record that we wanted to make. And I knew that we had the experience. It was an opportunity to apply every single lesson that I've learned about how do you make records from day one. And there's been a lot of opportunities to learn along the way. It was just a pure joy to have players with Michael Fian and Benny Ramos on the bass and Michael on the drums, of course, and Jimmy. And, you know, and then when we were enlisted, John Lowry was kind of like, for that time in the studio, he was like the fifth band member working very closely with us. And then the other side of the equation is that in the process, we just committed to honoring each other and honoring the Lord, honoring the process in a godly way. So, you know, because bands get tired and they get angry and egos get in the way and people do stupid things in the studio. They go, well, I'm not going to do that. That part sucks. Well, why would you say that? Well, because you didn't like that song idea that I had last month. So band members, they do stupid things like that to each other. And we said, no, we're not having any of that. We're going to do what's right for each other. We're looking for opportunities to make each other look good. And we just really want to do everything in a godly way on this album. And to a large extent, I think by the grace of God, I think that we really achieved that kind of a spirit of cooperation and just working as a team together. And the results, you know, you can just hear the energy and the grooves. And I've had some people tell me that, you know, it's like it was their album of the year and couldn't be happier with it. And I think I'm pretty sure that, you know, my guess is that this is one of those albums that will stand up just fine 20 years from now.
Rex, would you say, in your opinion, that this album right here, would you say that in the particular members of this band, would you say that the chemistry is by far, gosh, I don't want to put you on the spot, but by far probably the best chemistry you have, you know, that you feel that have been in a band with?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair question, because if you look at the history of, you know, previous situations within White Cross, not that guys were coming and going for no reason. I mean, it was a tough situation as far as always having enough finances to keep everybody in a roof over their head. So, you know, finding money is always a problem with the band. There's never enough. If I was a record label, I would say, well, give money to a rock band? Why would I want to do that? They'll just take the money and they'll go buy motorcycles or something.
You know? There you go.
But, no, that was a very big, that was a very important part of the whole process. And we really wanted to take our time and make sure that we had guys who were going to be the right fit. So that we could come together as a team. And just little things that are important to me personally, you know, the same guys that are in the picture on the album is actually the same guys that play in the album. And when you go out to see the live concerts, it's the same guys. That kind of thing is very important. I don't like it when you invest yourself emotionally into a band that you really like, and then you go out to see them live, and they got a new guy playing bass or guitar or drums or even a different singer or whatever. I don't like that any more than the next guy. So having a band that has good chemistry together and can work together and stay together is huge for me personally. For me, that's like a very big thing. And that is one of the things that we really have tried to get right on from this point as we go forward as King James.
The next song I'd like to talk about is called The Prisoner.
I really feel that how we think about things, and also there's a part in there where it talks about believe in yourself. And if you can believe in yourself, because sometimes you're the only one that believes in yourself. No one else really has that feeling about maybe the goals that you may be striving for. And but see, God knows those things. And but you have to be the one, and God instills it into you, but you have to be the one that sharpens that gift and that rehearses that gift and takes that gift to another level. You know, God can certainly help you. He can encourage you. But sometimes you don't have the encouragement around you, and you're the one that does it. So if you believe in yourself, and that's what it takes, you know, you must believe in yourself and also trust the Lord for guidance and really become just sold out unto Him. Then there's just no doubt or no question to where you're able to go with the vision that's been instilled in you. Michael really brought to the table such a different way of approaching the drums in that song as well. Just a very gifted man with drums. And so we were really excited once we started kind of going through the rewrite of it and throwing things at him, and he would answer pretty quickly with certain things, and he finally nailed it. We both looked at one another like, yep, that's it. You know, we were chugging. We both just looked at one another like, uh-huh. And so I'm really pleased with that. Now I would jump in on top of this, Jim, and maybe you'll have to. Jimmy just touched on yet another thing that I can tell you is part of the identity of King James, the band, which is this, that we have four personalities in the band on a musical level, whereas Jimmy has his influences from Steve Perry and Journey, the very melodic style of singing. You got Rex with his blues rock guitar riffs, and then you've got Benny with his R&B bass line, and you got McBean, who is really all about Latin percussion. So this was a core principle in producing the band. Is to me, I felt that we don't want to just be a rock band that sounds like every other rock band. The biggest tragedy not be to have all of those influences. So to figure out how do we get, for example, the Latin percussion influence into our sound, because that's what our drummer does, and he's really good at it. That song, Prisoner, was actually the one. So for the nerds out there, that is a Wawungan, which is it's a mouthful to say, but it's a Latin percussion rhythm. We went through like 25 of them. And we, nope, not the right one. And he finally played that one. We said, well, why didn't you play that one? So that is a core principle of the band, is that we want to, like, use the individual influences so that when you hear a King James song, you'll know it's the band right away, because it's a rock band like other rock bands, but it's not quite the same thing, because we all have it's a collection of our influences. And I think it's, rather than try to assimilate all those influences, I think it's a good idea to celebrate what everybody does that is unique in the band, and then make it come together so we have a slant on our sound, so that we just have our own. The idea is to try to find, you know, and this is just good advice for anybody who's in a band, try to find what is it that is unique about you, and your band should be a reflection of that. Yet again, on the Maximus fee, that is like a big time success story as far as I'm concerned. All of our individual influences together and then meld into a sound that is, we can call it the King James sound, the King James style.
Well, let's let the listeners hear the King James style, man, with The Prisoner on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up. We'll be right back.
to find out it's all but a dream come true.
Of King James again. These songs, the whole CD is just, it's amazing. Any future plans or any in the works of on another disc right now?
We are talking about that every day, and we had a very successful Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign last fall that helped us make the videos possible, and boy, I'm telling you, I love the videos that we made. And I said to our boy, we shopped pretty much a dozen different film directors, and we finally settled on the James Erdman of Nashville from the Bogle Boys. And James, I said, all I want is just a competent video. That will, you know, that's something that you could comfortably put on MTV. But I'm telling you, he knocked a bases loaded home run out of the park.
Hey, man,
he did just a bang up job for us. And I couldn't be more pleased with the videos. But I got to tell you that in the process of running a crowdfunding campaign, it was great. And I love our fans. And every one of them, I count them as a friend of the band, but boy, it takes the energy out of you. So in a sense, me personally, I'm still recovering from that. And so we have to, our issue as a band is that we have set the bar so incredibly high with the Maximus album. It's going to take a lot of resource for us to make the next record and to keep the standard that has been set now. So we're basically just trying to figure out what's the best way to achieve that. And as far as writing songs, oh my Lord, we've got songs for days. The writing process never stops. As soon as you finish, and everybody who's in a band knows this, as soon as you finish a record, you're already thinking about what you could do for your next album. And you've got like notebook pages that are filled up with new ideas. And, you know, there's demos sitting around in my studio that are archived going back. You know, there's even songs for the Maximus album that never made it to the Maximus album. As far as having songs, it's never an issue. It's just a matter of figuring out what the process is going to be for us at this time.
So, I mean, do you think that throughout your process in creating songs and, you know, once you, you know, you put, you know, pencil to paper, then you get in the studio, and do you feel that, you know, when you get it out to the public, sometimes in your heart, you know, you wish that, or prayed, or however you want to look at it, that, you know, you would have gotten a better response, or you would kind of put expectations on a specific song that you thought maybe you should have gotten a different response than what you really did, whether it's a pro or a con?
Nah, I'll tell you what. First of all, the Maxima CD, I knew that it was a great CD before we even went in the studio. And call me arrogant, call me full of myself, call me whatever you like, but I just had a vibe from the word go that this was going to be an amazing project. And it was, for all of the reasons that we have discussed already. And in my personal opinion, we say, well, how do we know if we've had a successful album? And I would put forth some criteria. And this is a thing, again, that every band struggles with. Well, if you want to define a successful album as did it sell 600,000 copies, I would care to offer a different set of criteria. Number one, did you honor the Lord in the process? Number two, is God's favor and God's blessing, is that in abundant evidence around you as you proceed in the making of your album? Number three, did you honor each other in the process? Number four, did everybody check their egos at the door? The absolute most incredibly fantastic piece of work that you have ever done. And this is one of those albums that transcends rock band, and to me, it feels more like art. This album, for me personally, is an artistic statement. You know, and I'll put myself on that, and I'll put myself out there on that. Yeah, you can go, well, what is the sound of Rex's guitar? Well, here, you can just put this album on, and that's an artistic statement for me, and I'll stand on that gladly and happily. When all of those things have been done, and you have honored your fans, and you have honored each other, and you've honored God, and you've honored your commitment to making an artistic statement, I mean, then you've already achieved a successful album before it ever comes out. And the audience for the album is there. And I'll tell you what, the general reaction that we've been getting is either, oh man, I can't wait to get this album. Well, I didn't know, so I bought the album, and holy cow, I was blown away. And so we have seen, since the time the album has been out, I think it's fair to say that we've seen just an increase of loyalty and commitment from our fan base.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have a lot of people that are reaching out to us as a band now as people are getting to know who we are and what the band is all about, finding out that, hey, this is like a really happening thing that, you know, we all want to be a part of.
I like
make room on your bookshelf to, you know, open up a slot in your heart for King James to be one of those bands that's one of your favorites. You know, I think that's what we're finding out is that this is something that you can really sink your teeth into, and it'll be there for a long time.
Right. I really like the analogy of the success, because so many people today, not only just in the music business, but in the world, in the world itself, you know, success, they look at it based on a dollar, and that's not true. Success is, you know, having another day. We could just really simplify it, but your analogy was really great, and I appreciate that, man. That was awesome.
You're welcome, man.
Jimmy, I'm going to talk directly to you on this. Not only when I had met you through Victor, when I became a King James fan, there is one particular song on the album that had actually spoke to my heart directly. I don't look at it. It is better than another song. It's just that particular song has a very special meaning. I could relate to it in a huge way. The song I'm referring to is Hard Road to Go. Would you please give the listeners some information about that song?
Well, when Rex took the music and sent this to me, first and foremost, I was just floored. He had just done an incredible piece of guitar work in that music. And I got to thinking about my brother Ricky, who at the time was a big drug dealer, and I knew the problems that it was bringing. He was spending time, well, actually it was a little ahead of that. He had already gotten in trouble and was in the state penitentiary, and my brother spent 3 years in the federal pen and 5 years in state consecutive. I mean, he walked out of one prison and handcuffed and took him to another one. It was just devastating to my family and devastating to my mother. But when you're doing things like that and you're involved in such heavy things that the moral values of family living and throw them right out the back door, and that's kind of what it did. I mean, it just, you know, it was hard to communicate. You know, my mother was so heartbroken over that situation. And so we just knew that I felt like we needed to send a message out, because in that time frame, it was a lot of stuff like that going on. I mean, it still is today and in a huge way as well. And maybe why that song is still, after all these many years, again, as Rex had said, 20 years from, you know, down the road, it's still going to have that meaning to it. And people are going to still listen and go, yeah, I know a lot of families, you know, that are dealing with the corruption of that type of lifestyle. So we were hoping that it would just send a strong message to think about what you're doing, and that there's no, it's not a win-win. It's really a lose-lose when you're involved in drugs and in the things that that my brother was involved in. And so, but you know, there's a good ending to it as well. My brother is doing fantastic, lives for the Lord Jesus now, doing great, and I'm really, really very proud of where he is with his life right now, and thankful where God has brought him from. And you know, he'll listen to that song, and when it comes up and he hears his name, you know, he immediately recognized, wow, God has been so good to me. And so there's always, when you put your faith where you need to put your faith in Christ and to look to him as your source, you know, he can deliver you from those things and help you in any situation that you might be walking in.
You know, Jimmy, like I said, and the reason why, you know, that this song is so inspirational to me is because, you know, that's my testimony. And, you know, I think, 13 years clean and sober through the Lord.
Good for you.
You know, I was a cocaine heroin addict 25 years. And, you know, when God, you know, says that he will set the captives free, God is a God of completion. He doesn't do things halfway. You know, in Philippians 4:13, where he says, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He doesn't mean some, he says all. And with that being said, let's go ahead and crank up Hard Road to Go with King James.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Again, we are with Jimmy and Rex of King James. Jimmy, thanks. Rex, thank you so much for that song.
Yeah, man. You're welcome, brother.
All right. We're going to, we're just going to ask you one more question, and then I want to play one more song as well, and then we're going to close this out, man. What's your tour schedule like? You guys got things lined up?
None of that so much, really. We take them as they come. It's been a kind of odd year, to be truthful, where the album is out. We're definitely getting a lot of buzz off the album. The touring has been very sporadic this year. We're hoping to pick that up. We have a couple of agents that we are working with now that, you know, just as far as working the business side of things. So you just take it as it comes, and the nature of the musicness changes from year to year. So some years touring a lot, other years you're recording a lot. And I thank God that I have my teaching music that keeps me going too. So we're looking for opportunities right now, and we take it as it comes.
You know, the last song I'm going to play, Waiting for the King, powerful, man. Jimmy or Rex, you know, how about some history and let's turn it up, man.
When we were in Memphis and we were going over some details about songs and all, I told Rex that there was a song entitled Waiting for the King that I thought I would really like for him to listen. I have complete confidence in him when I'm presenting ideas or music ideas or lyrical ideas. He's Rex, man. He just takes them to a level that, you know, I sit back in awe at how God just flows through him and that in his gift. I just told him that the lyrics of this song, that if they were, the song was not written by Rex or I. This song was written by Dean Harrington and Larry Russ. They were two guitar player and keyboard player that I worked with back years ago in first recording band, that our national recording band I was with, called Sacred Fire. And we did this song, and lyrically I thought it was, it just had a great message. And if you know, in today's time frame that we're kind of living in, right, all the stuff going on in the world and in the United States, man, it was just sending out a message. And I told Rex in the hotel, I said, brother, I know you and I, we didn't really get set down and put this together, but I think you should take a very serious listen and see what your thoughts are. Because I believe it would send a great message to people who hear this song that they need to, you know, get their focus on God and to really pay attention to what's going on around them. And he agreed. He said, well, you know, I'll take a listen. Just send it to me. Let me take a listen. We'll see what we can do. And so he called me. He goes, man, I'm getting some ideas for this music here. I'm going to send it to you. And when he did, my jaw hit the floor.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't we let the listeners hear Waiting for the King with King James on Power Rock Podcast. with Jimmy Bennett and Rex Carroll of King James. I just truly, again, want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You taking your time to share some of your experiences and allowing me to, you know, play the music that we had heard. I want to say that my prayers are with you guys in everything and all that you do, that God blesses you in abundance. You just keep rocking for Jesus, man. And just, again, thank you.
Thank you, Jen, for promoting us, and thank you for being willing to support our music in this way. It means a lot to us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Jen, you know I love you, man. Give love to Jen, and we appreciate so very much your support on this. Thank you so much for just giving us the time, man, and we appreciate it.
There you have it, an interview with Jimmy Bennett and Rex Carroll of King James on Power Rock Podcast. I'm your host, Jim McDonough. Peace.